I'm Gab, he's Jules. Still no idea about the weather in West London, but that's because we're in Doha. And the World Cup is going on. And Jules, we've had our first two big scouts out of the competition. The
drama
stage is over.
Insane here.
And it's goodbye to Belgium and Germany. We'll be talking about Germany at the top of the show. That was absolutely incredible. Then we'll be getting into Brazil going through, the U.S. going through, dramatic win over Iran, Morocco topping the group.
Uruguay.
Yeah, sorry. Maybe that's the third major scalp. Some people had Uruguay going deep in this competition. But Jules, let's start with Germany. Now,
your favorite country.
So it's not a question of what I like or what I don't. It's like I lived in Germany for 4 years. I was very happy there. But the nice thing about sport is that we have rivalries.
Yeah.
And as I said before, max respect, but Germany have won 4 World Cups. Italy have won 4 World Cups. This means that for another 4 years at least, there will only be one country that has won more World Cups than Italy.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's Brazil. Hats off to them. So that's good. So that makes me a little bit happy. But anyway, going into this game, right? We had Germany against Costa Rica. In the other game, we had Spain against Japan. There were different permutations. Long story short, Germany had to win to have any chance of going through.
Yeah.
Because, of course, they had lost against Japan and they had drawn with Spain. So that was very simple for them. They won. They won 4-2. What they couldn't have envisioned is what happened in the other game with Japan coming from behind to beat Spain. So inevitably, Germany out. Let's focus on that because there's an inquest. There always is an inquest.
Of course. There should be. Anyway.
Should there be one?
Of course there should be. You're Germany. This is the second World Cup in a row where you get knocked out in the group stage. This is embarrassing for them. And we can go into more details, the fact that they have the highest XG in this World Cup so far with 10. So they clearly had chances to score goals and loads of them and not just the 4 they scored against Costa Rica. But this is a team with limits. This is a team that showed weaknesses. This is a team that didn't play as a team with no cohesion. This is a team where the manager, Hansi Flick, had issues, make wrong calls, wrong decisions. This is a team where Antonio Rudiger, as a centre-back, you know, thought that it was funny, like, being a bit of a clown against Japan when they
were
winning.
You're still going to go back to that?
Of course I am.
Still going to pick on Tony for that?
But because this is symptomatic of the problem that they've had, Gab, through this whole tournament. And, of course, they could have beaten Japan. They had enough chances when they were leading that game. But the fact is, once again, they came in a competition like this and didn't deliver.
So the way I see it is, first of all, I know people talk about results and the two first-round exits. I thought the first-round exit 4 years ago was a lot worse than this one because you're talking about losing to Mexico. You're talking about only beating Sweden with that dramatic last effort, weirdo Kroos free kick. And you're talking losing to Korea. Korea 4 years ago, not as strong as Korea today.
Definitely not.
So for me, that was really bad. This time around, I think the expected goals mean something. Now, they absolutely screwed things up in the second half against Japan. But that set them on a path where they were almost never going to turn it around, right? Because they drew with Spain. I don't think you can fault them for drawing with Spain. And then they beat Costa Rica. And then the other results were out of their hands. All I'm saying is, it's fine margins.
No, of course.
If Kaoru Mitoma's ball goes out by millimeters, and that's how close it was, Germany are still in the World Cup. Yes?
Tanaka, you mean? Yeah. No, but...
No, it was Mitoma's cross, Tanaka's finish.
My issue is more, in 4 years between 2018 and 2022, which is two car crashes for them, for a nation like Germany, what have we learned? What has been the direction? They lost to the last 16 at the Euros against England. They were not good. They were in France group. They were not good. They were not good in this tournament for some part of it. Yeah, they've been good. But when you've got Musiala in your team, when you've got Gnabry in your team, when you've got Sané in your team, of course you better be good with the ball. But defensively, they lack leadership and they lack cohesion massively.
So I think there are things that I would agree with you on. On the leadership argument, I think is often difficult from the outside to see because on paper they should have leaders, right? Neuer is a leader. Müller is a leader. These people have been there, done that. Joshua Kimmich is a leader.
Okay.
I kind of feel sometimes, and look, this leadership piece that you're talking about, it's a big debate in Germany right now.
Yeah, of course.
But I also think it's because, you know, Germans look at this. Yeah, look, we're out of this. It's a scandal. What do? Let's blame leaders. Let's blame lack of leadership because that's always an easy out.
No, but you mentioned Manuel Neuer and Thomas Müller went through this competition as a ghost. He ghosted it, okay?
But I would focus more on this, Jules. I would focus on the fact that Manuel Neuer was poor throughout this competition.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to be really, really good.
He's 35 years old.
Thomas Muller was, you called him a ghost, was not good in this. And he's supposed to, but that doesn't mean there's a lack of leadership. It just means that these people had a bad tournament at this time. So for me, the issue goes a little bit towards Hansi Flick. Because you need to look at your players. You need to decide on form, what do I do? For me, the idea to say, I don't need Kai Havertz, who, by the way, wasn't great either in the first game, but I'm going to put my eggs in the Muller basket. You're making a big decision. You're making a big call there, right? And it's a call that I think we can agree he got wrong.
Yeah, completely. I think there's a lot of things that Hansi Flick got wrong, really, in this tournament. But just to go back quickly on leaders, leaders carry a team, though. Do you see what I mean? If you're a leader, you also need to deliver on the pitch. It can't just be, well, because in the dressing room, maybe you give a pep talk before the game. This is not enough. This is not what leaders only do. We agree on that, right?
No, I agree with you. But you can't just equate. We've seen these people be leaders in the past.
Yeah.
Now, because they play badly, we think they've lost the leadership qualities. I mean,
But part of the leader the leadership qualities is for you to be good.
Bad game.
No, but it's for you to be good. Manuel Neuer let his team down in this tournament, big time. Thomas Müller let the team down in this tournament, big time. Yep. This is not what leaders do.
There's also reports of I mean, the media is going to town with this. There's reports of a split between the Bayern contingent and a split between the Dortmund contingent. One of the biggest accusations, though, towards Flick is they're saying, well, your brand of football, and this is an old chestnut of mine, which I completely disagree with, your brand of football is not what you should be playing in tournaments. This whole high press, attacking, it's too risky. In football, in knockout tournaments, it might be fine for the leagues, but in knockout tournaments, you need to be tight, you need not to concede. And then they always say, ah, look at France, look at England. And to me, this is the stupidest thing that you can do.
Yeah, maybe.
Right? No, not maybe. It's a fact. You have to shoot yourself.
Who is the last team to win a big tournament by pressing super high and counter-pressing well?
Well,
you don't have to do that to win a big tournament. More teams have won big tournament by being very solid. This is the truth. This is a fact.
First of all, teams that win through tournaments tend not to concede goals. They tend to score goals because they win. But Italy certainly won the last Euros by being far more possession-oriented
From them.
I would argue that maybe if England hadn't been so defensive against Italy, they would have squandered the lead. I mean, for France, it works. Or it worked the last time around. I thought they were much more attacking this time around in the first two group games than what we've seen the last one. For France, it worked also because you have a team that's built to counterattack very well, and you have great players. But this fixation that, oh, must not concede, I think that's very dangerous because what happens is in football, you can concede any time. And if you build to defend and counter, making that transition from being a defending counter team to a team that's chasing is extremely difficult.
Yeah.
So I think they're on the right path. The worst thing could do is say, oh, no, we don't want Hansi Flick. Let's go with a Didier Deschamps.
They're going to keep Flick. And the Euros in 18 months is in Germany. So you can't change everything right now. But to go back on the defense and how you win tournament by being solid, regardless if you press high or not, He in the three games that they played, he never had the same back four. Never. So I think...
Because he picked the wrong back four to begin with.
Well, he picked it wrong three times then, because they always conceded, and they always looked shaky with the three different back four.
Well, but that brings us to the last game. We need to give a shout-out to Costa Rica here, because at one point they even had the lead against Germany, and my head nearly exploded. In that game, playing Kimmich at right back, I had no issue with, because you know you're going to have 90% possession. And so you're better having another guy who can pass on to the team, right? Than having some random right back.
You don't have
an issue with that.
No. My issue is that you can't go into a World Cup not knowing where your back four is, where your defense is. This is crazy. You can't change three times in three games your back four. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And you still concede two goals, whether Kimmich is at right back or not, you concede two goals against a very poor Costa Rica team too.
Can we, though, having said how poor Costa Rica is and everything, can we show some love about the magic of football, that you can have this group of players who, I think you can probably count on one hand the number of Costa Rican players who are actually, who could be productive at a top five league right now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not being harsh here, right?
No.
Great. They have some promising younger players. They have a bunch of really old guys. They have Keylor Navas. Yeah. And yet, 90 minutes, mano a mano, against Japan, who won the group, and against Germany. They held their own for long
stretches.
Yeah,
completely. Completely.
That's kind
that's
of well done,
of course. Yeah, yeah, that's great. That's great.
Bueno, vamos, Ticos. Come on, man.
Yeah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, genug Deutschland. How about some quick hits instead?
Let's go, Gab.
Now, we mentioned this before, Jules, but Germany going out happened because of Japan's 2-1 upset of Spain. How did this happen, and what did you make of that cross? Was the ball out?
The ball was not out. No, I think we've seen enough footage to show everyone that what matters is the view from the top to see where the ball is compared to the line, not what is touching the ground. We've told you a million times already, and you're still amazing me by saying, but no, look, if you look from here, the ball is out. No, it's not.
I'm not going to name names, but there's ex-pros. There's managers on my television going about it like, oh, look, it's gone out, it's gone out. I mean, come on, really?
I mean, come on.
Seriously?
Come on. And yet, of course, it's about millimeters when, where was it, John Stones, you know, kept the ball out from Sadio Mane in the Liverpool Man City game 3 years ago or something, and then City went on to win the league with 1 point. So football is a game of millimeters anyway. It's a millimeter for an offside. So this is a millimeter. Well done to Japan for an incredible comeback.
Is Moriyasu a genius or is he a fool?
Well, in the first half, he's a fool. And in second half in his career, he's a genius.
That's it's amazing. When you put out your good players, when you send Kaoru Mitoma at halftime, guess what happens? You score goals and you play better. Word on Luis Enrique?
I've got an issue with that team. I have to say, I'm not sure if it was the right call to take off Morata and to keep Dani Olmo, for example, who I thought had a terrible game through the whole 90 minutes. And at times, it's not vertical enough and it's too horizontal and it's too slow. But I still believe in him and I still love him.
All right, we're on Team Lucho still.
Yeah, some folks mischievously suggested that Spain actually were too happy to lose that game to avoid being... and to knock out Germany and to move in the easier side of the draw. So, for example, to avoid Brazil and Argentina side of the draw. What do you make of it?
Come on now. Seriously? I mean, there have been people in Italy saying, in fact, somebody right here, our colleague Hugo Sanchez, also suggesting that. I don't believe this at all.
Me neither.
Do not believe it. It's so far from the way Luis Enrique thinks that, no, I don't buy this for 1 minute. Better to face the fact. They were bad, and they couldn't score against Japan.
Yeah, yeah.
Croatia and Belgium battled to a nil-nil draw, and there's heartbreak for Romelu Lukaku, who ends the game in tears after missing a handful of chances. Do you have sympathy, Jules?
I do a bit. I understand you miss chances. I think everybody has missed chances in his life. Some of them were big chances. This is someone who's not fit. Who's not fit, full stop, who's not much fit either. And I think to send him on a half-time because you're in trouble, to try to save you and qualify you for the last 16 is also a big task. And I think he felt that pressure, especially because he wasn't fit. Had he been fit, maybe that extra second for the deflection or for when the ball, like he can't react enough and he hits his stomach, and then maybe he would have been there.
But the one where he hit the post, he had the good look. That to me is the miss.
Yeah.
That to me is the miss.
Yeah, right. I think this one, he could even... kind of fake the shot and comes inside and score, and there's no one there. There's no Livakovic, there's no defender. Yeah, they're bad misses. I can understand his frustration, but again, this is not where Belgium were knocked out. Not just in those last 10 minutes when he had two chances. They were knocked out because they messed up massively against Morocco, for example.
I love Lukaku, but Belgium, based on what they did, they deserve to go out, and that includes the performance against Canada.
Exactly. Roberto Martinez, continuing with Belgium, he's out as Belgian boss. His contract was coming to an end anyway, and he said he was leaving. We saw that coming, but it's still the end of an era for him and maybe for some players of that golden generation.
Yeah, it certainly is, and they're gonna retrench, they're going to reload. You know, I think when we talk about sort of production lines of talent, Das Reboot, all this stuff, you cannot legislate for the absolute superstar, for the Kevin De Bruyne being born. Mm. You can't do that. You can, if your youth development is correct, have an assembly line of pretty good players, and maybe among them, if you're lucky, you'll have a De Bruyne or a Pedri, yeah, or a Musiala. It's as simple as that. But this generation, so many together in one go, probably won't happen again for some time. As for Roberto, I hope he goes back into club management.
He will, sure.
I think he will.
Surely.
Morocco, meanwhile, are through as group winners, defeating Canada 2-1. Hakim Ziyech, once again, the difference maker.
Yeah, not just him. I mean, Youssef El-Nizri took his goal really, really well. We saw his dad in tears in the stands as well. I think it's an amazing story. And Walid Regragui, who's Paris-born and bred, of course, the Morocco head coach, is doing an amazing job considering he just took over Vahid Halilhodžić just not long before this World Cup. But they play with belief, they play with cohesion, they play with heart. And then they have special talent like Ziyech, like Hakimi, like Boufal even, who's having a really good World Cup.
Mazraoui.
Mazraoui too. By the way, we had lunch the other day, me and Neda Manua and producer Mike and Mo as well. And the Mazraoui family were just behind us. So well done to them. And all my Rouyas from Morocco, well done. Now I hope they can continue in this competition because it's a wonderful story. And their fans are incredible, of course, as well. Talking about fans, Argentina, Gab, also win their group after defeating Poland 2-0. Gab, you were there. How did they look? Was that their best performance?
It was their best performance out of the three, which isn't perhaps saying that much.
Yeah.
I can tell you, after Messi missed that penalty, when I was actually happy he missed the penalty, because that should have never been a penalty.
Yeah,
that was an uncharacteristic bad call from a very good referee, Danny McAlee, you know, even after going and looking at it on the VAR. But they kicked it up a notch in the second half. Alexis McAllister getting the start. I think he contributed something. I still don't understand Scaloni reshuffling his team all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, he's looking for something. I guess he's guided by form rather than reputation.
Which is a good thing.
Maybe not a bad thing.
Yeah.
A word on the Argentina fans. Oh, we're told there's something like 40,000 of them here in Doha. It was incredible. An hour after the end of the game, I posted the video on social media at the two ends of the stadium. They're still there. They're still there singing.
Incredible.
They're still there dancing.
Incredible.
It is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Poland will advance, even though Mexico finished level with them on points after beating Saudi Arabia 2-1. Jules, your assessment of El Tri not making the knockout round for the first time in ages.
Yeah, I mean, they conceded that late goal against Saudi Arabia, but before that, they would have been knocked out on yellow cards.
On the fair play table.
Yeah, the fair play table, exactly. Which happened to Senegal 4 years ago and Japan, which would have been cruel. However, and again, this is not in that game that they didn't qualify, they lost the qualification, is before, by the fact that they approached the game against Argentina in such a negative way, for example, that they could not beat Poland in the first game. We blame Tata Martino in the last show. I'm glad that he's leaving, because I never want to see him again, nowhere near Mexico, not even on holidays in the beach somewhere, because I think he made more damage to that squad, even if it's maybe not as good a squad as the ones that they had previously. I get that. And certainly maybe like a good striker. But come on, man.
I wonder what the odds are on Tata Martino being the next Paris Saint-Germain coach.
No chance. No chance. Right. I make sure that never happens, to be fair. Absolutely, to be fair. Brazil, Gab, had not lost a group stage in a World Cup since 1998. And tonight, they play Cameroon. Tell me they haven't lost.
Well, Jules, sorry to report they did lose. What? 1-0 late. Vincent Aboubakar goal. He was already booked. But still removed the shirt, held it up, Messi. Like, it's happening. These are wonderful.
He will live off, you know, he will live off this goal, right? And this
he will
forever now.
He should. Chiche played the B team, which I think was the right decision.
Yeah.
You saw different solutions as well. Guys getting a run out. All I can say is well done to the indomitable Lions. They knew it was an absolute long shot. Mm. They got the 3 points. I think where they screwed things up again, I think they're going to go back and kick themselves for some of their earlier performances in this group.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they, when they look back, at the other group, and you're going to get them in a minute, Serbia and Switzerland, they felt that they maybe they could have gone through.
Definitely.
And that brings us, in fact, to Serbia and Switzerland. A lot of aggro in this game. A lot of goals in the first half.
Yeah.
Ultimately, Switzerland getting it done.
Yeah, and I think, again, this win in the kind of adversity that they faced against a good Serbia teams who I think defensively let themselves down, really, because at some point they were 2-1 up, you know. And I think for Switzerland, the way they play, some of the goals they scored, especially the Freuler one, which is a lovely move. I mean, even the Embolo one, to be fair, great for their confidence.
But the Embolo one, to make it 2-2.
The team move.
The one where the back three just stops.
No, but before that, guy, before that, the build-up in that goal. No. The build-up in that goal is a great goal. This is a great team goal. And now, their game against Portugal in the last 16, I think will be fantastic to watch. And I think it's a 50-50 tie, really. It's great. I like this Swiss team a lot, I have to say. What Murat Yakin is doing is a great, great job.
Let's hope Cristiano doesn't hear you.
Yeah, we see. Plenty of drama as well in the Ghana-Uruguay game. Gab, you were there. Should Uruguay feel hard done by?
Again, in the end, they had their stinker earlier on in the group, right? Yeah. So you can't really go and complain. However, in this game, they also had several decisions that I thought really went against
them. Was it penalty on Cavani at the end, you thought?
Penalty on Cavani, 100%.
He plays it well, but I can see why.
He plays it, but yeah. And the other one, the defender got the ball. The one where, by the way, the referee, Daniel Siebert, you know, people come out and they say, oh, well, when the referee gets called to VAR, he's going to overturn it. No. Nope. Siebert went, looked at it, and you can see he just gets a touch. Where they should feel hard done by, perhaps, and Alonso alluded to it after the game, was they go out because of that second Portugal goal in the Portugal game, that penalty that was given where, you know, the hand goes down, Jimenez's hand goes down and they give penalty.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that should have never been given.
At least as I see it. Maybe. And Luis Suarez, of course, potentially the last game in his international career.
Yeah, Suarez crying on the bench, and I asked you, oh, I felt bad for him. No sympathy.
Definitely not.
No,
I don't know why he's crying. And then after the game, anyway, he said, like, oh, it's not the time to talk about my international retirement possible or blah, blah, blah.
Like, I have more sympathy for Edinson Cavani. Hopefully it's not his last name.
My boy.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
As we mentioned, South Korea are through as they beat Portugal, who had already qualified. Jules, it took a late goal to get it done.
Yeah, I wear the shirt, of course, because, you know, South Korea boys, I'm my kings of the day. Yes. And I know it brings back memories
of Byron Moreno.
Of course,
I don't want to see this.
2002, remember Italy were knocked out by South Korea. But anyway, this is a team that I've loved watching so far in this tournament. And I would have been gutted that they get knocked out. But for them to snatch that qualification in the 91st minute on that incredible counter-attack to score the winning goal against Portugal, Heung-min Son running from literally his own box almost all the way, 7 Portuguese defenders or midfielders and defenders behind him trying to chase him, and then passing the ball through at the right time for Wang is just incredible. And then they still had to wait 6 minutes, by the way, at the end of their game to wait for the Uruguay game to be finished. What a liberation. They cried. Heung-min Son cried. It's a beautiful story. It's a really beautiful story.
Cristiano Ronaldo starting, and then, according to Fernando Santos, who always tells the truth, getting trolled by Cho Kwon-sun, the Korean guy. The Korean guy who added 1.5 million followers on Instagram.
Yeah, he had 20,000 before, and now he's got 1.7 million on Instagram.
But
Cristiano, no shot on target. Again, second game in this tournament where he's got no shot on target.
Because he's being unselfish and... No?
Because he missed the target. And that didn't happen much in his previous 4 World Cups,
but
you know?
I got to say, is it odd to you, this business? Fernando Santos said, oh, he was being insulted. We don't know exactly.
I know.
What could he possibly have been saying
to Cristiano? What? You're not the GOAT. Maybe he's take that as an insult.
Do you think this guy is a not very nice guy who wants even more Instagram followers, and he had somebody filming him? Ha! Let me go and troll Cristiano. Do you think that's what he was doing?
I don't know. That's a weird one.
careful, because Cristiano often gets the last laugh.
Yeah, that's true. A Christian Pulisic goal give the USA a 1-0 win over Iran. That sends them through to the knockouts. Gab, plenty of drama as well in that game.
Sent the U.S. through to the knockouts and, of course, sent Christian Pulisic to the hospital.
Yes.
That was, okay, I know that times we've been critical of Pulisic and so on.
In his resilience, you mean?
Sorry?
Critical in which way? Oh, just his level, you mean? His performance.
His level. Why can't he be in the team more consistently at Chelsea and so on? I got to say, I'm never going to doubt this guy's guts.
No,
this guy's fortitude.
Team,
going, putting it on the line, getting absolutely hammered for it. You know, I don't think he's – I think sometimes he's less than the sum of his parts. I don't think it's entirely his fault. I think it's something to the environment. Maybe Chelsea's not right for him. But that was tremendous. A tremendous performance, I thought, all round from the U.S. Tyler Adams, once again. Yunus Musah defensively making that change, putting on Cameron Vickers or Cameron Carter Vickers.
Carter Vickers, yeah.
You know, I thought they played it correctly. For Iran, heartbreaking. I wrote a whole piece about Saeed Ezzatolai at the end. And I got to say this again for those. Go read my piece. But I was just struck. This guy, he was just sobbing and crying so much. We found out as well his best friend had been killed in the protests in Iran. I was struck. I've never met Josh Sargent. I don't know Josh Sargent. To me, he's just a guy who, you know, with a funny hair or whatever. He goes over. He's got one shoe off because he'd been fouled. He'd been hit hard. And you just see him hugging, embracing Ezzatolai on the ground, helping him up. Not just him, others. McKenney, Timothy Weah coming over. I just thought it was a real sense of humanity. Real sense of solidarity between players.
Yeah.
England, meanwhile, defeat Wales 3-0 to top their group. Jules, did you learn anything? And are they quietly actually very good?
I think they've got an amazing squad. You know that I'm not a big fan of the manager, of course. But I think they've got great squads. And if it clicks and if they do well and if they defend well, then I think they can go really far in this tournament. Did we learn a lot from that Wales game? I didn't think so. We learned that Marcus Rashford was maybe back to his best, which is great for him and for England. I expect him to start against Senegal now ahead of Raheem Sterling, for example.
Ooh, you need to drop Sterling.
Yep. Yes, please. Is that possible, please?
I thought he loved Sterling.
Yeah, maybe he does. But I don't think right now Sterling is better than Rashford. So I would pick Rashford personally. And apart from that, it was still a very average first half from England, full stop. But they scored 2 goals in 2 minutes early in the second half. And then the game was gone because Wales are not very good either.
It is kind of funny when you think about sort of the progression, though, in the tournament, right? So they have the opener. They score 6 goals against Iran when Iran are in an absolute state because
implode,
of what's happening, right?
Yeah.
Then they play against the U.S. and was it 0 shots on target?
Yeah.
Something like that. And then they play Wales, who, let's face it, are effectively, you know, are out of the tournament playing with 9 men or whatever. I don't know, man. It's hard to gauge where England are, really. It's going to be a big test, I think, against Senegal.
Australia beat Denmark 1-0 and also in the last 16, Gab, which is an incredible achievement for them. Should I apologize for calling them the worst team in the tournament? No, I won't apologize. I still don't think they're very good, but well done to them.
Oh, absolutely well done. Well, this is what happens in football, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's
90 minutes. Stuff happens. Don't draw too many conclusions. I will praise Australia for this, for the mindset. Because, look, players know when they play badly, right? They know the stinker they had in the first game against France. They look around. They you know, when I think of Matthew Lecky looking at his teammates or Aaron Moy and saying, my God. Like, can you imagine Aaron Moy says, wait a minute. I am by far the most talented person on this team, and I'm Aaron Moy, right? No. But to then have the wherewithal to go and do this against a Denmark team that many had going far in this tournament. It's a tremendous performance.
Yeah, it is great.
I look forward to seeing them in the flesh against Argentina.
Yes.
Your boys, France, were already through as group winners, Jules, so I guess they weren't too fussed as they lost 1-0 to Tunisia.
9 changes made by Deschamps, a defeat that might become a draw, by the way, because the French have appealed the goal that was disallowed. Scored by Griezmann right at the end, that was disallowed because the referee made a big mistake, of course. He should not have been disallowed. He should have stood up because the ref blew the restart. The game was restarted. Then he was stopped for full time, and then that's when VAR intervened. But you're not allowed to do that, VAR, and you know that. You were a bit naughty there, and so was the referee. So the French have appealed. I don't know if that's going to be successful or not. We'll see. To be fair, I don't care. I think it's quite embarrassing that the French appealed for it anyway.
Why are they doing this?
I don't know. But
does Griezmann have a goal bonus or something?
Yeah, I mean, he's getting closer to Olivier Giroud and Thierry Henry's records if he does. But the fact is that Deschamps messed things up completely. I'm happy with changes. You should make changes. But not in that system. I mean, tactically, it was an absolute nonsense.
Can I say something about Griezmann chasing Thierry Henry and Olivier Giroud's record? Antoine, I like you very much. It's great that you're having a little renaissance and everything. But give up the record, honestly. Because even if you catch them and pass them, and I'm not sure you will, it's that guy in your rearview mirror, Kylian Mbappe. Seriously? Right. Within a couple of years, he will have pulverized you. Yeah. So, you know, nice idea, but
Qatar exit the World Cup with 0 points after losing to Holland 2-0 in their final group game. Gab, do you have anything more to say about the host? Or would you rather talk about Louis van Gaal? Or both?
No, they were absolutely terrible. Louis van Gaal.
Worst host ever.
We're going to see him again. Memphis Depay isn't fit. He's a part-time player. I think they need the real Memphis Depay on the pitch if they're going to make any headway, even including against the U.S. This is conservative Van Gaal. I do not like conservative Van Gaal.
No.
I do not like Louis. I do not like Daley Blind, his pal. I do not like him in a boat. I do not like him with a goat. I do not like him in a castle surrounded by a moat. Honestly, I don't want to see Holland play like this. I remember
when Holland changed now because you make a poem about them.
I should. Okay. Senegal also advanced, defeating Ecuador 2-1. Jules, I thought it was deserved, but kudos to Ecuador too.
Yeah, who played well, but I just thought they messed that one up. I think they were. I think you could feel the pressure on them. They didn't play like they usually did, and fair play to Senegal. Senegal stepped up massively. Were in control. Such a good performance from them, from Ismaïla Sarr, from Iliman Ndiaye, from Idrissa Gueye, who unfortunately picked up another yellow and will be suspended for the game against England, the last 16. But really, I think a lot of love and credit for Senegal. 20 years after the 2002 World Cup, where Papa Bouba Diop scored the winner in the opening game against France, who were the world champions at the time, for them to go on like this and qualify and pay tribute to Papa Bouba Diop, I think was incredible. So really, really well done to them. And sticking with Senegal,
Jules, this brings us to an end because there's a man with glasses over there and a beard who has told us our time is up. But we got to come back and do this again because I have a whole bunch of quick hits here I didn't get to. It's okay, guys. Do not panic. We're going to be back on Sunday. Until then, love the game, love your neighbor, love yourself.